If you would join me in taking your copy of God's Word, turn to Luke chapter 2 we'll look at this morning. If you're using the black Bible that provided for you in the chair, it should be on page 1020, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. This morning we will read verses 1 through 20, but we'll really focus on verses 8 to 20 where we look at the shepherds and the good news given to them this morning in response to the birth of Christ, the fulfillment of God's promise. And through these messengers to humble shepherds, we learn the glorious truth that because you and I can have peace with God through Christ, we are to experience and enjoy and delight in much hope and joy that is eternal and cannot ever be taken away. So look with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, where the word of God says, "Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for Mary, her, to give birth, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in their fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. That is, the shepherds made known to Mary and Joseph. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." This is the word of the Lord. All people are like grass. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as the shepherd saw the brilliance of your glory in the dark fields long ago, we pray that you would graciously show us your glory, majesty, your love through your word, and through the illuminating and renewing work of your Spirit in us this morning. We pray all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. Some of you are watching a lot of Hallmark movies this Christmas season. Maybe some of you despise Hallmark movies. And there's many ways I think we can see good movies and appreciate them for their good acting or good production or good storyline. But there are other movies that have an element that are, you know, you're 10 minutes into the movie and you realize, I just don't want to watch this anymore. I'd like a refund if I paid for this. And one of the things I think separates a good movie from a terrible movie is an element of surprise. There's a little bit of mystery that goes where you don't really know where the movie's going, where the story's going. And that's certainly something we see here in Luke, where we just see, beginning in verse 8, these shepherds who are out in their field. And if you pause there, it's like, okay, what's going to happen next? And we see Luke providing this, not only in our passage this morning, but in all of Luke, there's this constant turning and twisting of a plot where you think it might just be a normal thing going on, but God intervenes in a supernatural way. And that's what we see this morning. And so if we turn to the first verse that we read, verse 8, Luke chapter 2, Luke points out that Jesus was just born, and then we change scenes to a field. And there's this announcement that Jesus is born. And ultimately, what I want us to see in our passage that our passage emphasizes this morning is one of the things is that this is good news of peace. So our passage that we learn, it affects how we live, is that because we have peace with God through Christ, you and I are to find our ultimate joy in the Lord. So many circumstances in our lives seek to take our joy away from us. But one thing that we can find joy in always and in all times is that we have a reconciled relationship with God. We have peace with God through Christ. For that reason, we have joy. In verse 8, we see the first scene where Luke points us to the flocks. I've never been a shepherd guarding flocks before. Some of you have animals. You kind of know what this is like, maybe. You had dogs barking in the middle of the night. You know that something's happening, maybe, with your animals outside. But I imagine that it's pretty boring most of the time. It might be like being a watchman at a strip job, a coal mine, where you're just kind of there to keep security. Or maybe you're a cop working a night shift. And it's pretty boring most of the time until something happens. And that's what we see here. In verse 8 is kind of the boring part. It might be super tired. These shepherds, we don't know how many there were, but maybe they're taking shifts, 3-hour shifts, who knows, to get some sleep and rest and then keep watch for the other shepherds. But we see in verse 9, this isn't another boring night. We see in verse 9, an angel suddenly appear, and the glory of the Lord surrounds them. What do we do? If you're a shepherd, what do? Imagine the darkness of the night, and then all of a sudden the glory of the Lord fills it out of nowhere. I cannot imagine what this is like to be a shepherd. And they are terrified. It tells us in verse 9, it ends and says, they were terribly frightened, probably for their lives. And the angel replies, do not be afraid. And we see this, like Carrie pointed out in Sunday school. We see this all throughout Scripture. When God appears in glory, one of his messengers appears with the glory of the Lord, we immediately fear. Why? Is it because we're sinless? And we know we have a clear conscience and, this is the glory of the Lord. We have no reason to fear. No. The Bible tells us over and over again that we are sinful by nature. And if we see something as holy as the Lord or one of his messengers, we immediately cower and fear because our conscience tells us that we are unholy. We are not worthy to be in the presence of God. We are fearful of condemnation, of judgment, of death, because we know that's what we deserve. And to hear that we see nothing less than what Moses happened to Moses in Exodus 3, where he hid his face from the Lord, the burning bush, because he was afraid to even look at God. And here we see the shepherds fearful of the angels who appear in the glory of God. But there's another twist. They weren't coming to condemn, or this one angel that we see so far was not coming to condemn, but he came to bring good news. What's that good news? Verse 10. There's good news of great joy. Why? Because in the city of David, there's born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Luke brings up the city of David because it's a fulfillment of the prophecy of Micah that talks about a ruler of Israel will come to reign. And he will come from the city of David, which is a fulfillment of the promise to David. And so there's so much fulfillment going on in this passage that the Old Testament gives us knowledge of. But what we see here is not only the good news of great joy to the Jews, but to all people. And we see this also emphasized in Scripture, that not only Jews, but you and me, if you're not of Jewish descent, have a promise from God of salvation through Christ. So we see one miraculous appearance, the angel. And what else do we see? Verse 13, we see an army, heavenly hosts, is an army of angels suddenly appeared. And once again, it might not be what you expect. What do you expect when you think of an army? You think of war, battle. But guess what this army came to bring? Tidings of good news, and particularly joy and glory to God as a result. So they came not to bring war, but they came to celebrate peace that Christ brings. The shepherds probably didn't understand at this point, but this child, the Savior, was to bring peace with God, among whom God shows his favor to, those people who God shows his grace to in giving them a new heart that they might turn in repentance and faith to him. But they might not have known that this would have happened through the blood of the cross. And this child came that he might die for us, to cleanse us from our sins. So at this point, we see the good news, the gospel of Christ, is that he has come to bring peace. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace God gives. And it's this peace with God that brings us joy, an eternal joy, in the experience of salvation that we can have even now. It's not just a future reality that we look towards, but even now we can experience the salvation of God and have eternal joy. 2 Corinthians 5 reminds us that God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It is in this good news that we have peace with God through Christ. And this, in this peace, you and I can experience joy now. We have peace of conscience because we have forgiveness of sin. We know that even our wrongdoings, we have forgiveness if we come and confess our sins to God. We have peace among fellow men and women through forgiveness, that because we have been forgiven much, we can forgive others in a way that we have been forgiven. We have a real, legal, and eternal peace with God himself, which brings about this experience of peace in our lives in a way that nothing else can. This is good news for all people, not just the shepherds, for all people, because we are made in the image of God and we desire this peace and joy, do we not? How many of you have had this yearning in your life to have peace and joy, particularly in difficult times in your life? Maybe you have family members, friends that are going through difficult times that have this yearning for peace and joy. Guess what? God graciously gives it to us. Maybe not in the way that we want immediately, but God gives us what we need in Christ. And one of the gracious things that God provides for us is that he leads us into truth. Many times we use family. We might use entertainment, might use work, something to replace this feeling of peace and joy that was missing from our lives. But the reality is only God can provide it to us through Christ. Augustine once said, he's an old theologian, and he hit the nail on the head when he said, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God." And this is the reality and good news that we see now, is that our peace comes from a reconciled relationship with God. And from that peace, we can experience joy. It is only through coming to Christ in faith that you can have peace with God and experience eternal, never-ending joy. The angels knew the weight of this privilege that God extends to us, and they praise God for this work. The shepherds heard the angels' message and praised God, as we see in verse 20, because of this promise of peace. This good news of peace with God through Christ brings about joy. And if angels who are sinless and were just messengers of God praise God for this, so how much more should we as sinners who are the objects of God's redeeming love praise God for the peace we have with him? The good news of this peace with Christ is based on the promise of God, the promise of forgiveness of sin, the granting of righteousness, and by God's grace, we can enjoy peace and joy even now. But not only can we enjoy it, we're commanded to enjoy God and then enjoy this peace. The Psalms, what does Psalms say over and over again? Rejoice. Many times in Paul's epistles, he says, I have joy, and you are to have joy, even in the midst of imprisonment and trial and so many things that Paul went through. He had this unfading, unceasing joy. Question 36 of our Westminster Shorter Catechism summarizes this biblical teaching on how we can experience peace and delight and joy now. As Christians, it's not just a future thing. God graciously gives it to us now. And how do we do so? We read it in a responsive reading, but I want to read it for you again, is that one way that we can experience this joy is that we have the assurance of God's love for us in Christ. When we are totally undeserving of his love, we can have assurance in our life now and joy. Why? Because of Christ and the work he has done for us. We can also have peace of conscience. One thing that we all have, because we are sinners, is a guilty conscience. But God graciously gives us peace of conscience, not because we're sinless, but because we know we are forgiven in the work of Christ to all who come before him and confess that he is Lord and trust in him. And so we have assurance of God's love. We have peace of conscience. But then also it says, one of the workings of the Holy Spirit that we enjoy now is the fruit of the Spirit. And Galatians 5 tells us of this. I don't reflect on this enough, I confess, but one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. But guess what's the second fruit of the Spirit? Joy. And the Holy Spirit unifies us with Christ. And through the Spirit, we enjoy peace with God by the work of Christ, and by the working of the Spirit in us, we have joy in a way that no one else can have if you're apart from Christ. And so we can praise God that we are united to him by faith. We have this peace with God through Christ. And because of this peace, we have an eternal joy that cannot be taken away. And even God gives it to us by the power of his Spirit. And we are to delight in this even now. Worship, in our daily lives, in our prayer, and even in difficult seasons of our lives. If you're in Christ, you have eternal joy, not only in that salvation now, but we also have a joy of a hope of salvation in the future. This is why the angels in verse 14 and the shepherds in verse 20 glorified God. Why? Because of good news that Jesus was born, the anointed one, by the Spirit of God, who is God himself, God with us, who took upon himself a human nature that he might take away our sins, give us his righteousness, and give us peace with God through his saving work. It wouldn't be until later that Mary and Joseph and the others would know what this really meant, what this exactly looked like in the work of this child. But what they knew at this point in our passage is that Jesus was a promised coming king. And he came to save us from our sins, and that we have a hope, a joyful hope of salvation. This is what we see in verse 19 with Mary. She knew the Old Testament. She knew this promise. We see in Luke chapter 1 her psalm of praise that she gives to God for this news of Christ. And it's chock full with concepts and ideas and words from the Old Testament. And she knows this promise of God that he would accomplish salvation through Christ. And she had hope. She wasn't quite sure what it would look like, other than what God had revealed to her, but she had hope. In verse 16, it says, when the shepherds came and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them by the angel about this child. And all who heard it wondered, and they told the shepherds, which were told to them by the shepherds. But verse 19 says, but Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And this pondering language is not only a mulling over of what she just learned about, but it's also a kind of anticipation of, this is just the beginning for this child. What is God going to do through this child? And it's going to be unimaginable to many that he would come to die and that he would be raised again. But that's what we see. This side of the cross, we see that it was the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ that gives us peace with God and ultimately gives us joy. This is what Mary came to find out, many of the disciples. We are justified and have peace with God by grace through faith. This is what gives us hope. By God's grace, he pardons our sin and accepts us as righteous in his sight. It's through the work of Christ. It's just as if I have never sinned. Some of y'all have heard that, about what that means to be justified. Just as if I had never sinned. But then there's a positive aspect to it as well, that it's just as if I had perfectly obeyed God. This is what it means to be justified in God's eyes, is that we stand before him and he sees the wonder and righteousness and obedience of Christ himself on our behalf. And how do we lay hold of this? We are only given the righteousness of Christ to us by faith alone. And so we can, because of this justifying work that God has done for us in Christ, we can have assurance of God's love. Not because of my work, but because of Christ. We can have peace of conscience. Why? Because God forgives us. He pardons our sins. We can have joy in the Holy Spirit and hope of a final salvation because of Christ's work to us, the resurrection life that he provides for us, and we give all glory to God. Romans 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, what do we have? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his grace alone we stand before him, and we exult in the hope of glory. If you are in Christ by faith, you have an eternal and unchanging hope of a final salvation. Not only salvation now, the joy we have now, but there's a hope and joy found in a final salvation when the Lord comes again and we have resurrection life with him. Find your eternal joy in the hope of a final salvation that Christ gives to you, because he is your Savior, through whom you have eternal peace and fellowship with God. Because you can have peace with God through Christ, you and I are to delight in this with joy. You and I are to experience this joy even now in saving faith in Christ. We are to experience this eternal joy even now in the hope of salvation in the future based on God's promises. But lastly, if you're in Christ, you are to experience joy in worshiping God. In verses 14 and 20 of our passage, we see angels and men worshiping God for who he is, a glorious God in the highest, but also in what he has done in providing us peace. If sinless angels can worship God for this, so too should we. Sinners forgiven, washed clean by the blood of Christ. This is the purpose of Scripture. This is the whole reason we have this revelation from God, is first that we would have a knowledge and belief of God, what he wants us to rightly believe about him, but secondly, the duty that he requires of us. And this is what we see in worship, that we are told, commanded to find our joy in him and our peace with God. And one of the beautiful aspects of heaven is that we will worship with angels in glory, in the very presence of God. Not like the shepherds who initially were cowering in fear. In the presence of a holy God in his glory. But in heaven, we will experience joy in God's presence because of the grace he has shown to us in Christ. Praise be to God that we can experience joy now through faith in Christ, even in the ups and downs of life. We have an immovable joy, an eternal joy, an unchanging joy because we have peace with God. We can experience this joy in the hope of final salvation. We can experience this joy in our worship even now, and the imaginable and the unimaginable worship that is to come. May all glory be to God the Father, all glory be to God the Son, and glory be to God the Spirit, ever three and ever one. Please join me in prayer. Our glorious Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture that reminds us, even in between the lines of Scripture, our sinfulness, how unworthy we are of enjoying a relationship with you, even to have joy in our lives, because we are sinful and we should only experience the curse of death and sorrow. This is the darkness our sin puts us in relation to you. But, oh God, we give you thanks that you have sent forth your Son to live the life that we could not, die the death that we deserve, and to be raised again for our hope and joy, because we have peace with you if we repent and believe, trust, acknowledge, know Christ, our Savior. So we pray that our lives would be filled with joy, that you would produce in us the fruit of your Spirit, that even in our joy would glorify you, knowing that our joy is a gift because of the grace you have shown to us through your Son by the power of your Spirit. We pray all these things for your glory. Amen.